Press On with Jared Gunter of the Beaver Dam Church of Christ. Hello again, neighbors. Hope you're doing well today. Well, yesterday we looked at Jesus and his preparing a good-sized evangelistic mission for 70 or so of his disciples. He prepared them, he warned them, and commanded them to go. And go they did. And now we see in the very next section that this group has returned and they're full of joy. Let's read Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 24. The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." In that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then, turning to the disciples, he said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." You know, sometimes we get excited about the little things. Maybe we make the little things the big things and don't consider really the big picture. And it's not bad to find joy in the little things, but as Jesus makes clear for us here, there is something far greater for these disciples to rejoice about. Jesus relates to the power they have, but showing his own preeminence in the process. They had demons subject to them, but Jesus saw Satan himself being cast down from heaven. Furthermore, it was Jesus who gave them the authority to do this. And so there's some perspective there. An even greater perspective, as Jesus points out, is that these disciples' names were written in heaven, and that's what was truly worthy of rejoicing. And the point holds water still today. We may be distracted by all the big things, at least what we perceive to be big things, that either we or someone else may be doing in their life. And while it's fine to take time to appreciate accomplishments along the way, the greatest thing that any one person could rejoice in is the promise of heaven. If you are a baptized believer in Jesus, if you have been saved from your sins and you are a faithful Christian, then Christian, the greatest thing that we can take joy in is being a child of God, knowing where our destination is beyond this life. And as Jesus points out next, the truth of the gospel is not reserved for just the brightest and strongest among us. Average Joes like me can understand, obey, and follow the gospel plan of salvation. You don't have to have a doctorate. You don't have to have a bunch of letters after your name. Certainly, those people are welcome to obey the gospel. But what I believe is the principle here is that anyone can understand the message of Christ. Just think about it. Jesus chose fishermen from Galilee, country bumpkins of their time, to be among his apostles. God chose David to be the great king of Israel, even though he was the last son of Jesse even considered by man. His predecessor, Saul, looked the part, but David had the heart. I believe some words from Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 serve as a great supplement for what we're studying today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, Paul says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." I hope we understand and agree that God is not operating on the same wavelength that you and I are. But he has made it to where each and every one of us can understand what his will is for mankind, for us to submit ourselves to him, to serve him, and to love him as he has prepared a place for all who will believe and obey. Praise be to God that He gives us reason to rejoice, reason that is found only through the cross of Christ. Thanks so much for listening today. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow with more Press On. Press On is a production of the Beaver Dam Church of Christ. We're located at 1235 William Street in Beaver Dam, Kentucky, and can be contacted at 270-274-4451. For more information, give us a call or find us online at beaverdamchurch.com and facebook.com/churchofchristbeaverdam. More Press On episodes are available for free on our church website and several top podcast platforms. Just search Press On Bible Podcast. Thanks so much for listening, and let's press on.